Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's up, friends? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you guys being here today. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Today, we are not going to be doing the Jordan Morgan deep dive. That was my goal for today, but sometimes the best laid plans do not go according to plan. That's going to be tomorrow. Today, I had a couple things come up. Kid got sick, urgent care, had to go get a prescription, the whole nine yards. So this actually worked out really well. Already on the audio version of the podcast, which if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you're subscribing to the audio version as well, because you're getting extra episodes every single day from our amazing team of podcasters. But Jacob Morley and Owen Reese already put up an amazing episode breaking down all of the offensive linemen. Owen Reese is an offensive line coach. He worked with the Shrine Bowl. And if you're not familiar, Donovan Jennings, their undrafted free agent. He worked at the Shrine Bowl with Donovan Jennings. So huge breakdown today of the offensive linemen. They also went through the athletic score. So that's already up on the audio channel. Obviously, this is going to be your primary video. But later today, Ben Fennell and I are going to be going over his analysis of the draft. So super excited to talk to Ben. And then you're also going to get Ross's breakdown of the entire draft that you haven't received yet. So today's going to be a four episode day on the channel already. This is going to kind of be the final like breakdown day. And then tomorrow we'll kick off those deep dives again, starting with Jordan Morgan. So even though it didn't necessarily go according to plan, I think this is actually going to work out a lot better. And I'm going to be going over the roster construction and how it basically is made up right now, and kind of just going position by position and reviewing how this roster is now together, what it looks like. We'll kind of do a 53-man roster prediction alongside of it. We'll kind of look at some free agents that they could potentially pick up along the way as well. Any holes that they have, any gaps, or where the strengths are. We're going to analyze the entire roster. And like I said, we'll go position by position. I know everyone and their grandma are doing 53-man roster predictions immediately following the draft. So like I said, that'll just be a small piece of it. But let's kick things off with quarterback. And we'll start, of course, with Jordan Love. You've got Sean Clifford, Michael Pratt, and Alex Magoo as your current quarterback room as it stands right now. Couple things here. One, Jordan Love, we're probably going to get some word on that contract and the negotiations in the coming month. That's when it can start to be actually completed. Now, whether they actually get it completed in May will remain to be seen, but that's the big thing right now, and probably immediately following the draft and undrafted free agency is moving on to that Jordan Love contract discussion. But they also have Sean Clifford, their backup quarterback from last year. They get Michael Pratt in the seventh round, what many people are saying is one of the best value draft picks in the entirety of the draft. And then they still got our good old friend Alex Magoo on the roster as well. What I mentioned the other day immediately following the draft about this quarterback position and why I love that they got Michael Pratt in the seventh round and just sort of took a flyer on another developmental quarterback is because right now you do still have Tom Clements on the roster. And they did go get Sean Mannion as well as sort of this, I think, probably the heir apparent to Tom Clements as quarterback's coach if they can keep him around long enough. But you don't know how much longer Tom Clements is going to coach. So having this group of developmental quarterbacks, obviously Jordan is still green and growing and he's going to continue to get better. But also Sean Clifford, year two, Michael Pratt as a rookie, he's got some really great, young, talented quarterbacks to work with. And more importantly, for guys like Sean Clifford and now Michael Pratt, hopefully they can absorb as much Tom Clements. And maybe Clements stays for another 5, 6, 10 years, who knows? But maybe this is his last year, and getting these quarterbacks in now, next year's not supposed to be a great quarterback class. So I think it was really wise and smart to get Pratt in the seventh round. We'll see what Tom Clements can do with these guys. I think the real battle here is potentially, at least theoretically, between Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt for that backup quarterback spot. And then the question becomes, all right, regardless of who wins or loses that battle, do you keep three quarterbacks on the roster, on the 53-man roster, that is? I think the first question is do both of them show that they're worthy of a 53-man roster spot in training camp, OTAs, mini camp, preseason, etc.? And then the second thing is, if you actually release one of them to try to get them back on the practice squad, are you concerned that they may get claimed? If you're not concerned that they may get claimed, then you probably, you know, don't need to keep three anyway, because it probably shows exactly how you feel about that quarterback. But my assumption is they're probably going to want to keep these three guys on the roster, obviously Jordan, but then Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt. unless one of them bombs entirely or Pratt just gets to the NFL and it just doesn't work. We'll see. But as of right now, I would say all three of those guys, I would put on my 53 man right now. And then Alex Magoo, you know, he's going to be 29 this upcoming season. And that's not exactly a developmental quarterback anymore. It's not the worst thing in the world if you want to continue to keep that going on the practice squad. Maybe after the UFL season, if somebody tears it up in the UFL, they could take a look at a quarterback that maybe they could bring in that's a little bit younger. Maybe they could find a undrafted free agent quarterback along the line. Maybe someone gets released at cutdown time that they bring in from the practice squad. But you're probably reaching the point with Alex Magoo of what's the return on investment here? 29 years old this season. He's probably never going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. We're pretty sure, at least, you know, questioning if he can even ever be a backup quarterback in the NFL. And at some point, you maybe just take a flyer on a 21, 22, 23-year-old, put him in the practice squad and see, also with Tom Clements and Sean Mannion, if someone like that can progress and maybe make some steps to becoming a backup caliber quarterback for the Packers and in the NFL. So love this room right now. I think it's a very strong room. Jordan at the top, two developmental players in Clifford and Pratt at 2 and 3, and then a practice squad caliber quarterback in Alex Magoo, who's been familiar with the system. Should be good right now. As far as free agent options, there's not really any out there. Like I said, maybe you take a look at the UFL if someone does really well through the course of that season. They haven't brought in any undrafted free agent quarterbacks yet, so it would lead me to believe that they're pretty good with this room. The only other thing that I will say is, like, there is like a Ryan Tannehill out there. There's a couple of veterans out there. If you got through camp and mini camp and maybe a vet is still out there and Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt are just not looking great and you feel like, hey, we really need a better backup for Jordan, you could maybe look in that direction, but I don't think that's going to be the case. Jordan Love, Sean Clifford, Michael Pratt, I'm putting on the 53. Alex Magoo, we'll see if they want to bring him back in the practice squad or not. But I think that big battle is going to be between Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt. But overall, very, very good quarterback room. Running back room, this is an interesting one. They go get Josh Jacobs in free agency, of course. They draft Marshawn Lloyd. Those are your two locks to make the roster. Then you sort of get this interesting battle between A.J. Dillon and Emmanuel Wilson that we'll talk about in just a moment. Then you've also got Ellis Merriweather, and then Jarvion Howard is a rumored undrafted free agent signing as well. Like I said, we know Lloyd and we know Jacobs are going to make the team. So that comes down to then Emmanuel Wilson versus A.J. Dillon. I, in my very first iteration of this, actually put Emmanuel Wilson ahead of A.J. Dillon. I did end up flipping it. I am going to put Dillon ahead for now. One of the things I always talk about when we get to cut down time is not all cut down decisions are created equally. And this is a great example of that. With A.J. Dillon and Emmanuel Wilson, Dillon is going to need to beat out Emmanuel Wilson. You might say, that sounds crazy. No, it's Emmanuel Wilson that needs to beat out A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon's the experienced one. He's the one that, you know, has actually played for this team, has gotten carries, has started for the team. Emmanuel Wilson was an undrafted free agent rookie a season ago that barely played and now is going to come back. You're telling me A.J. Dillon needs to beat out Emmanuel Wilson? Yes, to an extent. One, they're going to have to battle it out, period. Neither of them are guaranteed a roster spot. But number two, the reason that I say that is Emmanuel Wilson has 2 years of team control after this season. He'd be an exclusive rights free agent next year and a restricted free agent the year after that. A.J. Dillon will be an unrestricted free agent. Emmanuel Wilson is younger. He's $210,000 cheaper. So, and actually even more cheap than that from an actual payment standpoint, because remember, they get that veteran benefit with A.J. Dillon. So if all things are equal, if Emmanuel Wilson and A.J. Dillon are anywhere near close to each other, the differentiating factors will be age, team control, and cost. And Emmanuel Wilson actually wins on every single one of those. That being said, I do still think A.J. Dillon brings enough to the table. He's experienced in the system, really good in pass pro, obviously can catch the ball to the backfield, and then has been a legitimate starting running back in this league and has been a good backup in this league for a while now. They still get him super cheap. There's no real downside. So I do think A.J. Dillon ultimately keeps it, but that A.J. Dillon-Emmanuel Wilson battle is going to be very interesting. They are a little bit on the thin side following Emmanuel Wilson. Ellis Merriweather, I went back, if you remember, and I watched all of the players that nobody's ever really heard of or ever watched of or anything like that. And I went back and watched Ellis Merriweather. In my opinion, there just wasn't a ton there. I have not watched any Jarvion Howard yet, so maybe he can be that surprise undrafted free agent. They seem to get one or two of those every single year. As far as like free agent options, though, I don't think there's any reason to go and attack that with where Green Bay stands right now. They already spent a ton on Josh Jacobs. They just spent a third round pick on Marshawn Lloyd. AJ Dillon is still a good backup. Emmanuel Wilson is a possibility as a backup as well. Bringing in another veteran or somebody to compete, like, you're just basically taking away carries from Marshawn Lloyd, AJ Dillon, and Emmanuel Wilson. And you really kind of want those three to battle it out. And then you see what you have in an Ellis Merriweather and a Jarvion Howard along the way as well. So I don't think there's any realistic free agent options that make sense. And you certainly don't want to add a, you know, veteran back at this point. So unless they go out and grab another undrafted guy or getting somebody from the UFL after the season's over that played well, I think just kind of keeping this roster where it's at right now at running back makes sense. I'll say right now, three make the team: Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, and AJ Dillon. And then, like I said, Wilson and Dillon will be an interesting battle as we kind of move forward. Wide receiver, this is an interesting one, at least from the bottom of the wide receiver room, or at least, well, that number six, number seven wide receiver battle. Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Bo Melton, and Malik Heath are the ones that I did put on the 53 here. Those are the six that I think make the team. I don't think Malik Heath is guaranteed. I don't think Bo Melton is quite guaranteed, but I'd be shocked if he doesn't make it. Then you've got Grant Dubose, seventh round pick from a season ago, who did get elevated to the active roster, I think, at the end of last season. Samori Toure made it the last couple seasons, coming off a big injury, has had some opportunities, hasn't, what I would say, made exactly the most of those, but still a 53-man roster-ish caliber player, probably more towards like your number five or six wide receiver, but he's made it the last two seasons. You get Julian Hicks, a rumored undrafted free agent, and then Thyrick Pitts is on the roster as well. My apologies in advance to Julian Hicks and Thyrick Pitts. This is going to be a very tough wide receiver room to break in any real capacity. At this point, we'll say that Dubose and Toure don't make it. I think Toure is really fighting an uphill battle here. Again, five spots are all but taken. Malik Heath showed a lot of promise as a undrafted free agent developmental wide receiver last year. I think he gets the nod, but if you told me Grant Dubose made it over Malik Heath, if you told me they kept seven wide receivers, I think that's within the realm of possibility as well. I think at the top of that roster is more than who is the player or players that are getting the vast majority and the bulk of the snaps. My guess is Watson, Doubs, Reed, and Wicks are going to rotate pretty heavily. And you're going to see those four really be fed, but none of them really being a true number one, none of them being a true number four, just all four of those guys rotating in and out and getting a lot of snaps. And then you've got Bo Melton that I do think will see action on game days and will get snaps as well, but probably less than the other four. And then Malik Heath probably finds himself in a similar situation to a season ago. Malik Heath, at the end of last year, once Bo Melton had those couple breakout games, he found himself on the inactive list on game days. And the reason that that is you're not usually going to activate six wide receivers. And if you are, that number six better be a big-time special teams player, and Malik Heath is not. So if Malik Heath wants to really make sure that he cements that roster spot, he probably wants to work on his special teams a little bit. But that last spot, Malik Heath, Grant Dubose, and Samori Toure will likely be fighting over that. I think that's the interesting one. And then again, how they utilize all of those wide receivers, get them on the field, get them fed so that everyone is hopefully happy and involved in the offense in some capacity. Again, six wide receivers on the list: Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Wicks, Bo Melton, and Malik Heath. As far as free agent options here, why? we just talked about, you've already got a Malik Heath that can't get active. Grant Dubose, a seventh round pick from a season ago, who I think is a 53-man roster caliber player, is on the outside looking in at the moment. Samori Toure has been on the 53 the last two seasons. He's at number eight. Are you going to bring in a Tyler Boyd? Well, like, what if you're Tyler Boyd's agent? Like, what are you going to say? Like, no, we're not even interested. Like, where is he going to play? You've got five wide receivers that are probably going to play over Tyler Boyd. You know, so like, there's just not really a wide receiver that makes sense here. Again, if you want to start bringing in some more undrafted free agents or, you know, UFL guys so that you can maybe stack the practice squad up a little bit more, sure, be my guest. But there's no veteran wide receiver option that really makes sense here. Tight end. This is actually a little bit tough because as I was like going through just position by position, I'm like, yeah, Tyler Davis, I think will make it too. He's a core special teams guy. Four tight ends probably makes sense. He was their most utilized special teams player two seasons ago. But you start getting to the roster math, and I just had a really tough time keeping Tyler Davis. So Luke Musgrave, Tyler Kraft, and Ben Sims were the ones that I kept on the 53. You still have Tyler Davis competing for a spot. Joel Wilson and then undrafted free agent rumored signee Messiah Swinson round out that room. It's a little bit on the light side, meaning you probably only have four guys that can legitimately make the 53 in Musgrave, Kraft, Sims, and Davis. Joel Wilson was one of the three or four top guys of that unknown list of Packers that I did think showed a little bit of potential, a little bit of juice. And I'm like, huh, he's kind of interesting at least. But I think he's still a very long shot to make a 53-man roster. Would you add a player here? Maybe, but I think it probably takes an injury. You do have some familiar friends on the free agent list, a Mercedes Lewis or Robert Tonyan. I think Tonyan is probably not a direction that you go with. Mercedes Lewis is not getting any younger, and if you do want to use a heavier formation, you can always just go with an extra offensive lineman. So I don't necessarily see that happening, but let's say Ben Sims got hurt. And you wanted to have at least some semblance of a blocking tight end on the roster. Yeah, I could see them bringing back Mercedes Lewis on a one-year vet minimum deal and just see what happens. That could be one thing that they do. But as of right now, I think you probably let this group play it out. You let Tyler Davis and Ben Sims fight for that number three spot. And then you also see Tucker Kraft versus Luke Musgrave. Do either of them become the true number one tight end? We're going to see so much two tight end sets. I think you'll see a bunch of one tight end sets with Musgrave. I think you'll see a bunch of one tight end sets with Kraft. And then we'll kind of go from there. But really fun group. This is one of my favorite groups on the team. I think Musgrave, Kraft, and Ben Sims are all going to take a jump. Ben Sims, certainly not a guarantee to make the roster, but I think he's one of the most underrated players on this team. I actually believe that there's a lot more juice to Ben Sims than he's had the opportunity to show so far. I think he can be a good, well-rounded number two tight end. It's just that he's basically had to be a number three and basically had to sort of mold himself into this blocking tight end so far. But I do think there is a little bit more upside there as a receiving tight end for Sims. But right now we're going to go with three, Musgrave, Kraft, and Ben Sims. Offensive line, another really, really interesting one. So here's where the roster stands right now. Jordan Morgan, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, Jacob Monk, Andre Dillard, Travis Glover, Donovan Jennings, Luke Tenuta, Caleb Jones, Royce Newman, and Kadeem Telfort. 14 players. First of all, actually, they have one more undrafted free agent, too, that I'm just realizing as I am saying this out loud that I did not put on here, and that is the undrafted free agent Trent Jones from Michigan, who is also another rumored undrafted free agent. So the Packers haven't listed their exact list of undrafted free agents yet, and sometimes things get lost in translation between whether a player is a tryout player or a actual 90-man roster player, but Trent Jones does seem to be one of those ones that is actually a rostered undrafted free agent, but he's going to be another player that is going to be probably more of a practice squad guy, but we'll get a legitimate chance. But first of all, credit to Brian Gutekunst here for really starting to build up the depth on this team. You know, he goes and gets Andre Dillard in free agency a couple weeks ago, and then they draft Jordan Morgan in round one, Travis Glover in round five, and then they Jacob Monk in round five, Travis Glover in round six. Donovan Jennings is a really intriguing undrafted free agent and somebody they gave $100,000 in bonuses to. All of a sudden, there's a lot more interesting roster decisions here than there were just before the draft. And that's a large credit to Goody. I went with, as of right now, and this is a struggle towards the end, I went with 10 offensive linemen on the roster. Jordan Morgan, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, Jacob Monk, Andre Dillard, Travis Glover, and Donovan Jennings. Those are the 10 that I went with. If you look at it this way, I think seven of these spots are pretty much guaranteed. Jordan Morgan, Jenkins, Myers, Ryan, Tom, Rashid Walker, and Jacob Monk, I will kind of put on that list as well. I think those are the seven that are pretty much going to make the team. Hey, friends. You may not know this because usually you hear me talking about the Packers 365 days a year, but I'm actually a massive, massive fan of the NBA playoffs. And while I've always enjoyed NBA basketball, it's been taken to an entirely different level as I've been utilizing Prize Picks to test my skills and add to that excitement level of the NBA playoffs. Prize Picks is the most fun that I have ever had, winning up to 100 times my money, and there's never been a better time to join the Prize Picks community. Did you know that there's over 5 million members that have already downloaded the app? 5 million! This playoff season, star players are in play in a significant way. Keep an eye out for star players on the board, and you could receive a 10% payout boost if they're in your winning lineup. This week, I'm going with Brooke Lopez, Paul George, and Jalen Brunson for rebounds, points, and assists, respectively. And I'm already geeking out about putting Caitlin Clark's three-pointers made stat line in my lineup when women's season tips off in just over a month. Basketball plus prize picks equals epic excitement. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. There is nothing quite like the thrill of live NBA playoff basketball this time of year. And if you haven't had the opportunity to catch a playoff game in person, let me just tell you, you are missing out. But you don't need to be. You could attend an NBA playoff game easily with the use of Game Time. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. And guess what? Prices actually go down the closer that you get to tip off. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, seat views, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes all the awful, frustrating aspects of purchasing tickets out of the equation, and they help you get the perfect tickets that you want. I'm on my Game Time app right now, scrolling through Bucks tickets for Game 5, and not only are there plenty of great seats available, but the deals are incredible, and I can literally click and purchase any number of amazing deals right now. The best thing about Game Time is definitely the ease of use, no question about it, but their lowest price guarantee and their cancellation protection have come in huge for me in the past and are two more of my favorite features. Let me just say it again. The last minute deals come in clutch every single time. You can save up to 60% by buying last minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy shows, and so much more. So get in on the action and take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. You basically then have three spots for the remaining linemen. And that means Andre Dillard, Travis Glover, Donovan Jennings, Luke Tenuta, Caleb Jones, Royce Newman, Kadeem Telfort, and then the undrafted free agent as well, Trent Jones. So that's what you're looking at right now. Not a lot of spots for all of those guys. I went with Andre Dillard, Travis Glover, and Donovan Jennings, as I mentioned. Dillard is not guaranteed anything. Vet minimum free agent, no guaranteed money. If he doesn't pan out, they'll just cut him. And this will probably come down, one of these spots will probably come down to either Andre Dillard, Luke Tenuta, or Caleb Jones. One of those are going to make it as another tackle. I suppose if Travis Glover just tears it up, maybe he could be that guy, but he might have to be a guard. And I don't necessarily know that I think he's going to come in and just tear it up right away, but probably one spot for either Dillard, Tenuta, or Jones. And then you probably have another spot that either goes to somebody like Donovan Jennings or a Royce Newman, somebody that can play more on the interior. Newman's contract is one that probably does not do him any favors. Maybe they try a restructure. Maybe they just release him sooner rather than later. But I actually put Donovan Jennings on that list. They gave him that big bonus. He's a really fun player, and I think he has more versatility there too. So that's the reason I went with him. Travis Glover, they don't like to cut draft picks, so that was the reason I went with him. But that would mean cutting Luke Tenuta, Caleb Jones, Royce Newman, Kadeem Telfort, and Trent Jones. I think they like Tenuta, but he is coming off a season that was completely lost due to injury. They've kept Caleb Jones for two seasons as a undrafted free agent and basically redshirted him the past two seasons. It's a now or never moment for Caleb Jones. As I mentioned with Royce Newman, he's really behind the eight ball right now, and I don't think there's any chance they keep him on a $3 million contract for just this season. I think that'd be absolutely crazy. So that's where I'm at right now. Could Tenuta, Jones, Newman, maybe even Kadeem Telfort get their name in the conversation? Sure. Could Donovan Jennings just come in as an undrafted free agent and not show anything? Sure. But I'm going to say right now, Morgan, Jenkins, Myers, Ryan, Tom, Walker, Monk, Dillard, Glover, and Donovan Jennings. That brings us to really quick, offensive line free agent signings. Dalton Risner is still out there. He's a guy I talk about a decent amount just because he has some versatility. He might just be a guard at this point. And right now, there's just too many players on that offensive line. I think you at least start off by letting them go through OTAs and mini camps and training, at least the start of training camp, to see where they're at. if some of these rookies don't look good or players take a step back, Sean Ryan is struggling, then yeah, take a look at maybe a Dalton Risner, who usually doesn't sign until around the end of camp anywhere. I think last year it took him a couple weeks into the season before he signed. So you could always do that later, assuming he doesn't get picked up soon. But right now, I think you go with what you have and see if any of these young guys really step up and just take the jobs and own it, which is the ideal situation, so you don't have to go out and sign a veteran. Hopefully, you can avoid any major injuries as well. All right, defensive line. Here's the group right now, and I'm just talking interior defensive line here. Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, TJ Slayton, Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, Jonathan Ford, James Esther, and Rodney Matthews. This feels like there's just the obvious five again. Clark, Wyatt, Slayton, Brooks, and Wooden. Jonathan Ford, if you remember, did make the initial 53 a season ago and then immediately got cut and was on the practice squad the remainder of the year. I think this, very similarly to Caleb Jones on the offensive side of the ball, is now or never for Jonathan Ford. If he can't make the roster now, maybe you'll try to keep him around on the practice squad for one more season, but this probably just does it. And you're probably looking for another guy who can maybe even take that practice squad spot, because Ford hasn't shown the development up until this point if he doesn't make it for a third consecutive season. James Esther, Rodney Matthews, undrafted free agent types. This is just a five, right? Clark, Wyatt, Slayton, Brooks, and Wooden, with LVN being able to kick inside a little bit if you need to. There is one interesting free agent option where I don't think they need to go this route right now, but maybe if they have some sort of injury. He's like 45 years old. I say that in jest. I think he's 37. Calais Campbell. Calais Campbell somehow, some way, is still playing at a pretty high level considering his age. He's still a genetic freak. He still gets off blocks. He's good against the run. He knocks down a ton of passes, and he can rush the passer a little bit still as well. I don't think with where you're at on this defensive line right now, you need to add somebody like that. But I do like the fact that you can have him as a run defender. You can put him as a three technique for a little bit as a unique sort of player in that role. You could even put him out as defensive end a little bit. He's got that versatility that they look for. Here's one of the reasons. I always feel like teams that are about to win a Super Bowl, or like when you have a young team like this, there's always a Calais Campbell, somebody that's been a all-pro, pro bowler, and just at, you know, played at the peak of their peak of the level in the NFL, but have never won a Super Bowl. And it's almost like you rally around the Calais Campbell and be like, let's get this guy a Super Bowl. I also think he's just a really good player still. So I don't think they need to go in that direction by any means. This is a young, up-and-coming, talented team. You don't need a 37-year-old. But if something just doesn't look right, or they need to add another piece along that line, mostly there's just nothing out there. So you're just scrounging for anything at this point. And Calais Campbell probably still arguably and legitimately the best free agent defensive lineman out there. So that could be a direction that they go in if something happens, but I just keep the five that they have right now and kick LVN inside a little bit when needed. Edge rusher or defensive end, Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, LVN, Kingsley Enagbare, Brenton Cox, Keyshawn Banks, Aaron Mosby, Deslin Alexander, DeAndre Johnson, and Kenneth Odemegwu. They got 10 on the list right now, which is pretty incredible because they didn't sign any undrafted free agents that I know of yet, and they did not draft anybody at this position. We got the, I think, sort of good news that it seems like Enagbare did not tear his ACL completely and may be back sooner than what we expected. So that'd be great. So I put four on the list right now: Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, LVN, and Kingsley Enagbare. I love Brenton Cox. I think he's got a real opportunity to make this team. But again, when you get down to the roster math and start figuring out who's going to make it and who's not, Brenton Cox is a tough one to keep. If Enagbare is not healthy, that certainly helps out Brenton Cox's roster status a ton, and Enagbare would just go on the PUP to start the season, and then you just keep Cox as the fourth. But Keyshawn Banks is a player that got on the 53. He actually played a snap against the 49ers in the divisional round game a season ago, but that you probably didn't know that unless you heard me say it before, because I have said it before. But he could fight for a spot as well, but I think you might feel comfortable if you cut all those guys, especially Brenton Cox and Keyshawn Banks, that you can just get them back on the practice squad and call them up as needed. I would like Brenton Cox to be on the 53, but it's a tough keep when you kind of get down to everything. If you want to keep three quarterbacks, if you want to keep, you know, what the like six wide receivers, 10 offensive linemen, you just start getting really down to not a lot of numbers at some positions that you can keep. And unfortunately, Brenton Cox was the one that sort of got cut because of that. There's a couple other ones too, but Brenton Cox definitely was one of them. All right, free agent options here. There's none. Like I said, maybe you could do a Calais Campbell that can play outside a little bit, inside a little bit, but there's no good defensive ends left out there. There's guys like Jerry Hughes, some veterans too, but just nothing really makes sense right now. You've got Gary Smith, LVN, and Igbari, and if you want to keep one more, you just keep Brenton Cox at that point. Off-ball linebacker, Quay Walker, Edrin Cooper, Isaiah McDuffie, Tyron Hopper, Eric Wilson, Christian Welch, Christian Young, and Raylan Goforth as a undrafted free agent rumored signee. I like this group so much better than what it looked like just, 5 days ago. You've got Quay Walker at off-ball linebacker and Edrin Cooper at off-ball linebacker to start next to each other. Isaiah McDuffie is probably your top backup. Tyron Hopper, core special teamer, and probably somebody that could help out as a starter in a pinch. Eric Wilson is that vet backup and core special teamer, should be a little more of like your special team captain. Wilson not guaranteed to make the team. I did not keep Christian Welch in this exercise just because I think you can probably get him back in the practice squad and then call him up for games as needed. We have heard Goody say that they want to keep more numbers at this position. So you could keep, you know, somebody like Christian Welch here and keep six. I do think there's a good chance that Wilson makes the roster, but again, certainly no guarantees. Christian Young was, I think, my favorite player of all the unknown guys that most of you and even myself up until that point had not watched before. But I'll say five: Walker, Cooper, McDuffie, Hopper, and Eric Wilson. Again, utilizing the practice squad call-ups if they need to bring up a Christian Welch, and no real good free agent options here either. Corner: Jair Alexander, Carrington Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon, Eric Stokes, Corey Ballantyne, Kalen King, Robert Rochelle, Anthony Johnson, not Anthony Johnson Jr., the safety, Anthony Johnson, the corner, and then Gemin Green and Zion Gilbert. It's going to be really tough for Anthony Johnson, Gemin Green, and Zion Gilbert to crack this list. Robert Rochelle could as a core special teamer, but he just ultimately got left off in this exercise. You've got Jair Alexander, Carrington Valentine, Nixon, Stokes, Ballantyne, and King as the six that I kept. Could you go with five? Because you've got Javon Bullard who could kick inside in a pinch if you absolutely needed him to, or just even if you want to. Yeah, you could do that. You know, Carrington Valentine, Eric Stokes going to be fighting over that starting corner spot. Maybe Corey Ballantyne can get his name in that conversation as well. Nixon, probably the slot, but again, we'll see how they want to utilize Javon Bullard. Kalen King, not guaranteed anything. Corey Ballantyne, probably not guaranteed anything. There could be one to two spots available for Corey Ballantyne, Kalen King. Robert Rochelle is probably in that group a little bit as well. But I went with six: Alexander, Valentine, Nixon, Stokes, Ballantyne, and Kalen King. And no real good free agent options. If you wanted a free agent, good corner, that time has passed. There's just nobody left at this point. Safety: Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Ketan Oladapo, Evan Williams, Anthony Johnson Jr., Zane Anderson, Benny Sapp III, and Tyler Coyle are the safeties that are remaining on the roster right now. This seems rather easy. I shouldn't say that. So I think the top four are easy, right? Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Ketan Oladapo, and Evan Williams. I don't really see those four going anywhere. Anthony Johnson Jr. is a probable, but not guaranteed, 7th-round pick a season ago, did not do much during the season. Then you've got Zane Anderson, core special teamer, Benny Sapp III, core special teamer, and then Tyler Coyle. This could come down to teams as for that fifth spot, Anthony Johnson Jr. versus Zane Anderson versus Benny Sapp III, with potentially only one spot available. You do have Oladapo and Evan Williams already, who should be able to play a lot of special teams at safety, but that's an interesting one. I did keep five: McKinney, Bullard, Oladapo, Williams, and Anthony Johnson Jr. Right now at safety, I'm just excited that it is a much different group and a much better group, at least on paper, from a season ago, and should be a group that really helps this Jeff Hafley defense as they transition into a more attacking brand of football. Special teams at kicker, they've got Anders Carlson, Greg Joseph, and Jack Podlesny. Daniel Whalen is the only player on the roster that has no competition whatsoever. And then at long snapper, they got Matt Orzech and Peter Bowden out of Wisconsin as an undrafted free agent. I went with Anders Carlson, Daniel Whalen, and Peter Bowden as the ones to win those spots. Could Joseph or Podlesny get their name in the conversation? Absolutely. Could Orzech get his name in the conversation at long snapper? Absolutely. But Orzech was not great last year, and I'm going to go with Peter Bowden there. Some key cuts that you had to make in this exercise already: Emmanuel Wilson, Grant Dubose, Samore Toure, Tyler Davis, Luke Tenuta, Caleb Jones, Royce Newman, Brenton Cox, Christian Welch, Zane Anderson, Benny Sapp, and Matt Orzech. Those are some pretty significant cuts. Like, that's not a small group. It's not like one or two, like, yeah, I could see that or not see that. That's a big group: Wilson, Dubose, Toure, Davis, Tenuta, Jones, Royce Newman, Brenton Cox, Christian Welch, Zane Anderson, Benny Sapp, Matt Orzech. That's a big group. The majority of those, what? Wilson, Dubose, Toure, Tyler Davis, Luke Tenuta, Caleb Jones, Royce Newman, Brenton Cox, Christian Welch, Jane Anderson, Benny Snell. Yeah, all of them. Every single one has made the 53 at some point. Dubois sort of being a call-up instead of a true 53, but still, all of them have been on the roster at some point. That brings our official 53 here as we go and finalize the prediction. Three quarterbacks, Jordan Love, Sean Clifford, and Michael Pratt. Three running backs, Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, and A.J. Dillon. Six wide receivers, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, Bo Melton, and Malik Heath. Three tight ends, Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, and Ben Sims. 10 offensive linemen, Jordan Morgan, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom, Rasheed Walker. And then you've got, I put Donovan Jennings on that list, along with Travis Glover, Andre Dillard, and Jacob Monk. Defensive line, Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, TJ Slayton, Carl Brooks, and Colby Wooden. Edge rusher, Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, LVN, and Kingsley Nigbare. Linebacker, five of them, Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, Isaiah McDuffie, Tyron Hopper, and Eric Wilson. Six corners, Jair Alexander, Carrington Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon, Eric Stokes, Corey Ballantyne, and Kalen King. And five safeties, Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Ketan Oladapo, Evan Williams, and Anthony Johnson Jr. My biggest weaknesses or issues with this team right now, there's not much. This is a very well-rounded roster, and Goody did such a great job of attacking all those needs really in free agency and through the draft. I would say a little bit of the unknowns along the offensive line. As I've said all offseason, I think the key to this team right now is just protecting Jordan. You protect Jordan, open some holes for Josh Jacobs, this team's going to be in a really good spot. But Jordan Morgan will be an unknown. Josh Myers has not been good. Sean Ryan, I know a lot of people liked him last year. You go back and watch it closer. He struggled more than is what's being advertised out there right now. Rasheed Walker, I like, but he might just lose out to Jordan Morgan and Zach Tom on the wing, you know, at left tackle and right tackle respectively. I like him. I think he's really, really good, and he probably becomes a swing tackle in this situation. But I know Green Bay is in Goody and Matt LaFleur have said on multiple occasions that they want him to be a lot better, which is great. I would love him to be a lot better too, but there's a little bit of a question mark there. Jacob Monk, rookie question mark. Andre Dillard, his career is not gone according to plan. Can he be better this season? We'll see, but that's a question mark. Travis Glover, Donovan Jennings, certainly question marks. Even Tenuta, Caleb Jones, Royce Newman. You basically have Elton Jenkins and Zach Tom as your knowns, and then everything else is to some extent an unknown. I just wish that was a little bit more solidified, but give Goody credit for providing a lot of options along the offensive line. Starting cornerback opposite Jair, is it Stokes? Is it Ballantyne? Is it Valentine? I think it'll be Valentine, but we really need somebody to really step up and take that spot. Kicker, they've got three of them. Can one of them step up and be a legitimately good NFL kicker? We will have to wait and see. The youth at safety, yes, you have Xavier McKinney, but then your next three guys up, really four guys up, are all rookies or a second-year player in Anthony Johnson Jr. who still is new to the position and is still going to have to get better. But Bullard, Oladapo, Williams, and Anthony Johnson Jr., just a lot of inexperience there. And then the long snapper. Matt Orzech was not good. And yes, you brought in Peter Bowden to compete for that spot. I love that there's competition, but somebody needs to step up and be better at that position and hopefully just be the next Rob Davis and be somebody that you can just put in there and forget about it for, what, a decade. Biggest strengths, the weapons. I mean, just that entire group of weapons from Watson to Doubs to Reed to Wicks to Melton to Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, A.J. Dillon, Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, Ben Sims. I love that group so much. So versatile, can do so many different things, and Matt LaFleur is going to be able to attack in any way that he wants to. Jordan freaking Love, that's another strength of this team, what he was able to do in the second half of last year. I'm hopeful that he's even going to be better in his second full season as a starter. Leadership, and I don't necessarily mean like the coaching staff or even just the captains, but there are leaders all over this team. You can tell that this is a tight-knit group of Packer people. They get a bunch of captains from this draft, and I do think that that is going to continue to bring this team together and also make it so that they don't have those big lulls. Hopefully they don't have those big three or four game losing streaks, that they're all just rallying together and trying to play the best football that they've played. The lack of any gaping holes. There's like, we've usually get to this point right now and you look at, and that's why I said there's like, you can add a couple of free agents here or there, but there's not even really any spots on the roster. I don't think they're going to add any more veterans at this point. Maybe a vet minimum flyer like an Andre Dillard, one more somewhere, but I don't know who that is or what position you'd be attacking. And to look at the roster right now and be like, yeah, I just don't see any holes. That's an incredible testament to Gut, and to have to potentially cut as many players that are 53-man roster type players that we had to cut in this exercise is impressive as well. And I always say there's two different ways to legitimately win a Super Bowl in the NFL. One is that you have a handful of stars that just carry you to the title. And Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, like you have guys on that team that just basically carry your roster. And obviously they've got guys like Creed Humphrey, you know, McDuffie at corner, Trent McDuffie. They've got some other really good players, but like Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes have been supercharging that team for a while now with some really other great players mixed in. But some teams are top heavy, but their top is so amazing that they're just going to drag everyone else along for a Super Bowl. The other is if you don't have those three or four super high-powered, insane megastars, what you can win with is just not having any holes, like just being good at everything, being good everywhere. And if you don't have any holes that other teams can attack and you've got really good to great players all throughout your lineup, that to me, we have seen in the past, those are the two ways to win a Super Bowl. Either there's no places for the other team to attack on offense or defense, or just good everywhere, or you've got the situation where you've got those superheroes that can just carry you to a Super Bowl. I'm not sure Green Bay's in the superhero category yet. I think they need a few guys still to step up into that category, but I do think they have a roster that's very much devoid of holes. A lot of great depth, a lot of great competition, a lot of versatility, mismatches for Matt LaFleur, which is what his specialty is. This is a really good looking lineup and just lacking in any real legitimate weaknesses at this point. So now what? This group just needs to keep growing together. They need to stay healthy and they need to get ready for Philly in Brazil for week one. They've got a while to do so. Rookie minicamp should be kicking off this week. Minicamps and OTAs a couple weeks after that. Month off-ish, and then before you know it, it'll be training camp, family night, preseason, regular season, and Brazil, Friday night football. Here we come. It should be a blast. And this team, on paper, looks like they'll be ready for a very fun and intense matchup with the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil come week one. That's going to do it for me today. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Che Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnold Espinoza, and Michael Shipper. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.